Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We got to go on to sermon number 3, and I got to do this in about 15 or 20 minutes because we're going to baptize a bunch of folks. And I love baptism services, so we're going to try and cover chapter 15. Chapter 15. Are we going to try and do that? Is that okay? See, that's awesome. How many were here last week and heard Cheryl minister on chapter 14? Holy moly, Batman. I listened to it the next morning. I woke up early and just put on the podcast and listened to it. I mean, I went all the way through. I was really moved, really, really touched. She's an awesome pastor. Just an awesome pastor. I don't know what a church would do if they didn't have women who could stand in the pulpit and break the word. My goodness, how absolutely wrong is it that people will not allow women to stand in the pulpit and teach? We are so blessed that we are free from that nonsense which keeps so many people in bondage. Amen. All right. A very significant supper. Very significant supper. Jesus was like, you know, passionate about this meal. I mean, he wanted to have this meal. And this dinner, it's talked about a lot in the scriptures. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's trying to draw our attention to some things here and some principles that we have to get a hold of. So we really need to understand that Jesus' last opportunity to communicate with his disciples before they suddenly went, bam, he's getting the snot beat out of him. He's getting hung on a cross. I mean, oh my goodness, what just happened? And he knows that's going to go on. And because of that, this is a very emotional meeting. This is like a Christmas dinner gone sideways. This is like if you were a visitor in this room, you'd be going, excuse me, this is really awkward. Because it was tense. There's you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me. Pass the potatoes. You know, we read these things like just a cute little, and then Jesus said that you will deny me before the cock crows thrice. And we read it like some nice little, you know, biblical. This was an intense dinner, folks. This was an intense time together. Very, very heavy stuff. Now, the first lesson that Jesus wanted to teach was taught all about washing feet was involved in this whole process. Now, that's a picture. I meant to show that the last time, and it didn't pop up. But that picture was done in 2007. It was done by Lars Justinen. And they put those posters up, the massive banners, and they put them up in a mall in Seattle in 2008. So they were up in this mall. People were freaking out. In fact, people demanded that they be taken down because these were all, imagine if you went in a mall and you saw all these. And pretty intense stuff because you have Jesus washing the feet of Osama bin Laden. And there are people furious about that. Jesus would never wash the feet of Osama bin Laden. That's crazy stuff. Get that down. He would have to repent. He would have to have done things. He'd had to change his mind if Jesus would have washed his feet. And people cannot get their head around the fact that Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, you think about what Jesus was doing there. There was a betrayer in the room. There was a denier in the room. I mean, there was a lot of tension in the room. And the most common thing that should be done before every meal in their culture, this would have happened before every dinner. Somebody would have washed their feet. And generally, it was a servant. But they were all too proud. None of them were willing. I ain't wash the feet. If I start washing feet, I'll say that I don't want a significant post in Jesus' kingdom. So I'm not going to wash everybody's feet. I'd be saying, I don't mind being a lowlife in your kingdom. So I'm not going to do that. And then, you know, Peter didn't realize how awesome it was. And then Jesus did. How cool is that? How powerful does Jesus look now? I mean, I never thought that in the place of a servant like this and him doing this, I never thought, because all my disciples, all of them are weeping and they're crushed, and I should have done this. I should have done it. When he gets to me, I'll say, not just my feet, everything washed. But this was so powerful. And Jesus said, is the master lower than his servant then? Is that what I'm trying to say? No, you're absolutely right. I am Lord. But this is a pattern I want you to now go forward with. He who wants to be great is going to be the servant of all. He who wants to be significant in the kingdom is going to put on a towel and serve.
And so he wanted to show them that going forward, guys, if we're going to manifest my kingdom, it's not about taking over the political structures of the world. It's with unconditional love, breaking down the barriers and the demonic structures that are keeping people from caring about one another. We see some of the horrible thing going on in politics and the world and striving. We're all trying to get our own way through carnal methods. And, you know, it's disgusting, the kind of ways people strive for acceptance or to get their way. And yet Jesus said, I'm going to get my kingdom in the earth by serving people, by taking the lowest place, by loving this way. That's how we're going to get it done. That's the first lesson. If you want full-blown revival and a Holy Ghost breakout, is every other person you should esteem more significant than you. When you walk in the room, it's not, hey, aren't you glad I'm here? Did you save me a front row seat? When you walk in the room, everybody else feels better because you have come to make their lives better, to serve them. You walk in the room not because you want to be Mr. Impressive. You walk in the room because you're impressed with everybody else. Okay, that was good, Pastor. That's the whole thing about number one. It was, look, first lesson that must be embraced. You know, revival, what's it look like? It looks like a towel. That's what it looks like. Love one another as I have loved you. What I now did to you, do this unto others. If you know and you really comprehend what I did here, do this and you will be blessed. Amen. I want to be blessed. Serve others. Love others. Put others and esteem them better than yourself, and you'll walk in blessing all the time. Guaranteed. All right, so that was the first lesson. So the mark of spiritual maturity is when a Christian takes off the bib, gobble, 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 and puts on the apron. Amen. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Cheryl last week talked about John 14. Quick couple of thoughts there. Let not your heart be troubled. I watched Nancy Reagan's funeral. What an amazing, amazing time to watch that funeral. And to see all the wonderful things said, and to see people from such diverse backgrounds sitting together, smiling and celebrating a life. Why can't we do that? And it doesn't have to be done when somebody dies. It should be just the way it is all the time, you know? Why can't people just get along? All you need is love. Ba-ba-da-da-da. All you need is love. It's really true, folks, you know. It really is that simple. Let not your heart be troubled. They read this passage. It was Diane Sawyer read this passage. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. One of the most brutal English translations ever. Everybody thinks that I can't wait to go to heaven and see my mansion, what he's building for me. You know, hope it's pretty, and hope mine's probably better than yours. You probably got a shack on the outskirts. And it's all this competition and pride and nasty stuff that shouldn't happen. You know what I mean? There's a home and glory in it, outshines the sun. And we sing all this bad hymnology that gives us poor eschatology, which cripples us from being real believers right now. But it says, in my Father's house, there's lots of room. There's all kinds of dwellings. In my Father's house, there's space for everybody. In my Father, there's room for you. And he goes, look, I'm going to make a place. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place. I am going right now. What's going to happen in the next few days? Because I'm going to come back again after I rise from the dead. This isn't, you know, eschatology when he returns at the end of time. This is when he returns from being raised from the dead is what he's talking about. And he says, in this few days, I am going to go prepare a way for you. In this next few days, what's going to happen? It's going to look messy from your perspective, but here's what's really going on. I am going to pour out the blood of God. All of sin is going to be put on my body. So everything that hinders you from having a dwelling in God, I am going to take it in myself, and my pure, spotless blood is going to flow over all of that sin, and I will have the right to pick up my body again, and I will be resurrected, and I will empty paradise, and I will rush towards the throne of God. I will pour my blood on the mercy seat, and you will be qualified to be in the presence of God, and I will come back and I will send my spirit to be with you, but you will now have a place in me that is assured and secured by me, not by your effort, but I will find a place in God for you. I will prepare the way and the room, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man. There's room in my Father for you, and I'm going to prepare the way so that you can have a new and living way to have absolute access to his presence all the time. not by how hard you worship or how hard you pray, but because of the finished work of the cross. Then you get that, you'll worship and you'll pray. There's a dwelling in him. There is. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place, and if I do, I'll come back to you to receive you to myself. Listen to this, that where I am, you may be also. I love that. I'm going to do that so that where I am, you may be also. Where is he? He's seated at the throne. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Where are you? Paul had the revelation. We are seated with him in heavenly places. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm here at Impact Church, sitting on a purple chair. You may be here, but you have bilateral experience right now. You are having a two-level experience. You are in him, and he is in you. You are in the heavenly realms, and you are here. You are having both of those experiences right now because Jesus said, I'm doing this that where I am, you may be also. Oh, that sounds crazy. It's the absolute truth. Really, really good. Important stuff that we realize that. He says, I'm going to find the dwelling in you. Those two words, mone, found twice only in this passage. There's a mone in him. I'm going to go make a way so that you can be in him. And then I'm going to come back and you'll be cleansed and sanctified so that we can make our mone in you. So not only are you in him, but now legally he can be in you. He's not in you because of your performance. He's in you legally because of the finished work of the cross. His glory flows where the blood is applied. And when you apply a blood to your life, his glory legally has access to your life, done once and for all, has nothing to do with your performance, has everything to do with his. So that where I am, you may be also. But then he said, so that right now, my Father will come and we will make our home in you and with you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's go to John 15. You ready? John 15, he's like several things here. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. You have to understand, all these teachings are all connected to this small group of people. This wasn't in a big church service or on the side of a mountain. This was to a small group of guys. All right, very, very intimate stuff. But he says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. These things, he said, I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You're going to go through some miserable stuff in the next few days, but I'm trying to tell you these things ahead of time so that you can pursue them with joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're going to need to know this. Then he also said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. It's going to happen. He said, but I'm telling you, I'm going to send the helper. And when the helper comes from the Father, he's going to testify. He's going to witness of me. And you will also be my witnesses. Now, having said that, let's go to John 15, verse 1. You ready? John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. All right, it says, every branch in him, say in him. Every branch in him, or every branch, verse 2, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, some of you may have a little letter there. Like, I left the letter. I didn't leave the letter there. It's in mine. It's a letter A in the New King James Bible. And when you see the little letter there, that means there's a note. Go check out the note. And in mine, the note says, or is lifted up. So it's a big difference if you translate it, take away or lift it up. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Wow. That sounds nasty, because it's a branch in him. It's something in him, and he's going to take it away. So then you look at that little letter, and you take a look, and what does it say? The letter says, or he lifts up. So how many think lifts up is very different from takes away? Very different. Like, if you read takes away, you'd be going, oh my goodness. So if I'm not productive, he's going to cut me off. If I'm not manifesting fruit in my life, he's going to cut me off and throw me out. I better try harder. Amen. There's a lot of sermons just like that. But this is a brutal translation, because it really should be, he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that there may be more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken over you. Abide in me and I in you. What's he talking about? How are we going to do this from now on? What's going to happen? How are you guys going to manifest the kingdom? How are you going to, you know, do this? I'm going to tell you that you're going to be my disciples. And now through you, you're going to fill the world with my teachings. You're going to disciple the nations. How are you going to do it? You're going to do it by abiding in me. You're not going to do it by your effort. You're not going to do it by you being Mr. Smarty Pants or Mrs. Smarty Pants. Even if you are, God bless you. You're going to do this because you abide in me. It's all about your relationship with me. You moving forward, you got to get this right. You've got to abide in me. So he says, abide in me and I in you, and a branch that cannot bear fruit of itself. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I've done some stuff though. I'm pretty awesome. No, without me, you can do nothing. No, I've been really creative. There's been weeks where I haven't prayed or even talked to God, and I've been really successful, done some really neat stuff. There's some really creative, wonderful people out there who've done stuff without God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Some people think they're really, really awesome, and they think they figured that all out by themselves, and they don't think even what they've done is because of God's grace and God's goodness. They really think it's all about them. But what it says here is, if you're not abiding in me and what you're manifesting in your life isn't from me, then whatever you are doing, it has not even registered in the realm of eternity. It hasn't even done a bleep in those things which are eternal. Nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, without him, you're nothing. That was so kind. So kind. Without him, that was her Jesus word. Except you abide in me, you are nothing. If you abide in me, listen to this, I love this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Now you see, it says, the first part says, if you're in me, I will lift you up. It says, if you don't abide in me, you'll be cast out. So not abiding means that I've chose to be my own vine. I have chose to try to root myself. I have chose to not plug in with you. I have chose to root myself, and I have chose to be my own vine. I have chose that I will manufacture things on my own. I will be the cause of every effect in my life. If you do that, it says then you're not going to experience a life with him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. If you abide in me, verse 7, listen, this is a great verse. Listen to this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. How many think that's pretty awesome? How many think that God will hook up with my desires? Yeah, he likes you. He created you to be creative, to be wonderful, to desire things. And you know, God does that. Remember in the Old Testament when Joshua said, we could finish this battle today if I could make the sun stand still. Because when the sun goes down, it's going to be harder to finish this. But I could really finish it today if the sun would just stand still. So Joshua went, you know what? Sun, stand still. And the Godhead just went, that was totally awesome. That is so amazing that he thinks he has the authority to do that. And God just went right there. It says God, at that point, responded to the command, the mouth of a man, and God made the sun stand still, and they finished the battle that day. How many wonderful things has God said? You know, God didn't create you to be some hopeless, miserable robot. As you abide in him, you'll start having God kind of thoughts. It says Abraham was credited righteousness because he had a spirit of faith. He was lifted eye to eye with God, and a man started to speak the God kind of stuff. And you see, our father is the father of faith, the father of Abraham. What does faith do? The spirit of faith, it speaks. And whatever you desire, when you speak it, when you declare it, when you ask for it, it says, it will happen for you. That's good. I wish I knew that. See, here's the whole thing about abiding in the vine. When you abide in the vine, you have that kind of relationship with God. You get hooked up into his mindset, his will. Like when Isaiah got caught up into the glory of the Lord and God said, who will I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, I'll go. You suddenly get so consumed with the purposes of God that suddenly your words and his words are the same. Reinhard Bonnke said, God's word on his mouth or God's word on your mouth, it's exactly the same. He honors his word on your mouth just like it's his word on his. It's amazing when you get so intertwined with God that your thoughts are his thoughts and his ways are your ways, and you begin to manifest those things. Well, his ways are far above ours. His ways, thoughts are far above my thoughts. No, that's Old Testament. New Testament is the Spirit of God will reveal to you the unfathomable things of God, and you'll begin to live out of who you really are, and you'll live and be that divine intertwined branch that's connected with him, manifesting supernatural stuff. All right, praise God. I got to finish. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, if you bear much fruit. All right, let's go on, all right? Let's just go quickly. Here's the vine, all right? Now, the vine is right there, and that is a vineyard. If you can see that, see those wonderful grapes? Now, what I want you to see is I'm just going to share it with you. You ready? All right, so what happens, there are sometimes you'll go to a vineyard and the branch will be fallen off. See, they put those wires and things in there so that the branches can be lifted from the ground and they can be tied up so that they can see the sun and they can embrace the rains and they can experience all they need to be fruitful. So if a branch falls down and it's in the dirt, it's not going to produce fruit. So let's say it's not going to bear fruit is better, because that branch is just covered in dirt, covered in mess. It's not experiencing what it needs to experience. It's not in an environment to be blessed. Sadly, a lot of believers are in the dirt. They're face down in the dirt going, I'm such a worm. I'm such a dog. I'm a total screw up. I never get anything right. I blew it again. God's never going to be for me. I can't. When will I ever get it right? You know what God does with somebody like that? He cuts them off and kicks them out. No, it says he lifts them up out of the dirt. He brushes you off and he cleans you off and he ties you back up to the trellis and he says, you're awesome. You're connected to me. I'm the vine. You're not the vine. I'm the vine. You just need to be hooked up with me. And you see, he gets you back in a place where you can bear fruit. He does not cut you off. All right, so now listen, branches do not produce fruit. Branches bear fruit. Branches do not produce fruit. Branches bear fruit. Gospel in 10 words. This is the book that's been read over here all about forgiveness. Stop struggling. It's not your job to produce fruit. It's your job to bear fruit. Bear the fruit that he produces in you. Be the branch. He's the vine. Quit trying to be the little vine on your own. Jesus does it all. Jesus does it all. Our part is to trust him and depend on him for everything. The fact is, you are in union, so live in union. See, the word to bear literally means to bear. It doesn't mean to produce. You see, a lot of people think that now, because I'm a branch in him, he has expectations of me. Because I'm a branch in him, all these commands I read and stuff, I've got to do all this stuff now. I got to show that I'm a good little branch. I'm a good little branch. You know, here's what a good little branch does. It just abides. It trusts. It is totally surrendered, totally rests, and totally submits itself that God will do what he said he'd do if I'll just stay connected to him. And staying connected to him isn't even my job either. He's the one who keeps me connected. You see, if you confess that he's your Lord and your Savior, it says he abides in you and you abide in him. He abides in you. He dwells in you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. There's not a day where he's going to have had enough. I can't stand being with you anymore. I'm gone. I'm out of here. He'll never do that. Never, ever, ever. If there's a problem, he will pick you up out of the dirt. He'll have conversations. What are you doing down there? I feel so awful about myself. Well, I love you. You still love me, even though I'm like this. I mean, I still love you. Come on, let me pick you up. You will still want to pick me up? Yes, I do. We are enemies with God in our minds. We are not enemies with God theologically or doctrinally. We are enemies in our minds when we don't understand how good he is and how gracious he is. Galatians chapter 5, it says, now these are the works of the flesh, they're evident. You know, and when you step into the flesh, you are a hypocrite. When you manifest the flesh, you are behaving outside of your own nature because you are holy, you are pure, you are godlike in every way. When you operate outside of that, you hypocrite. You are literally being a player. You are on a stage acting like an unborn again, unwashed, unregenerated person. You're behaving, you're beside yourself because you're literally on purpose acting out of your nature. You are pure and holy, born again, a brand new DNA of God flushing through your veins, and you are behaving like a mere human. What is wrong with you, you hypocrite? You have to try hard to be a loser. You don't have to try hard to be righteous. But religion has beat the church over the head so much that all we preach week after week is performance. You could all do a bit better. Honest to God, if I followed you around for a week or you followed me around for a week, you'd probably say, there's a lot of stuff you could improve on. Thank God when he follows me around, he's helping me. He's nurturing me. He always gives me a picture of who I am in him. He doesn't point me at my failures. He points me at his goodness. He lifts me up and doesn't put my face in the mud. He puts my face in the sun. And he says, this is who you are. I go from glory to glory with an unveiled face. No shame, no fear, no religion, no veil at all. With an unveiled face, I look at him and he lifts me from glorious expression to glorious expression of his life, his power, and his love. Anyways, that's the truth right there. Amen. So I'm going to finish right there. Amen. That's it for John 15. But you know what? If you abide in him, you will bear a lot of fruit. And you know what? He'll remove anything that hinders you from bearing more fruit. And you're going to, branches bear fruit. The vine doesn't bear fruit. Branches bear fruit. And you see, he's going to let you produce much fruit. So I said produce, isn't it? It's easy to slip into the flesh. He's gonna make it so you can bear more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. And you know what? The seeds that bring forth life in other people are in the fruit. And when people partake of your life, they'll experience the divine seeds of God. And as they partake of your life and the expression of who you are, they'll have encounters with God himself. And when you're hooked up with him, it says you'll begin to ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you so that God can be glorified in and through you. Amen.